Take your Bibles and join me in Matthew chapter 1, the birth of Jesus Christ, beginning in verse 18. We're starting our series for Advent, a season of expectation. Can I ask you, what are you expecting this Christmas? Is it a gift? Is it a dinner? Is it family time? What are you expecting in your relationship with God this year? We're going back to the original story, a story in which a humble carpenter receives a message and it stops his world. Join me at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, the birth of Jesus. Now, the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother, Mary, was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a true man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Verse 20. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might fulfill which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That phrase has just gripped my heart today. And he called his name Jesus. There's so much in that simple sentence. I'm going to unpack some of that today. I hope today the Lord will speak to you. He'll make a new sense of expectation come alive in your heart and mind. You see, today's message is simple, a simple sentence. You can't move forward without faith. I believe that. I believe many people are stuck. They are literally stuck in the mud. Their wheels are spinning. Their engine is tacking out, but they are going nowhere. They are stuck. And they don't have faith. And without faith, you're not moving forward in life. Joseph had the proverbial tiger by the tail. Man, he was a young man, healthy, excited, got a wife. Now, in the Jewish tradition, they did things a little different than we do. They had kind of a three-stage a dating, which they called engagement. We don't call it engagement. They called it engagement. That's when your parents got together and decided which of their children were going to get together and get married. That often was done in your childhood. There's your Jewish dating life right there. Moms and dad got together and said, you know, my son be a good match with your daughter. Done. But then as you got older, you would actually have what we often call an engagement time. They called it a betrothal period. Now, during this time, you got to know each other. It lasted 1 year. And during that year, you were considered legally married as husband and wife, yet you were not given the rights of marriage. That is, you could not come together, if you know what I mean. So you didn't really know each other in the biblical sense. But that's when you got together. They would prepare a place and ready for the marriage. Oftentimes it was just another room on the father's house. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, to Scripture? And that the groom would be preparing his place to receive his bride. And then after a year, then you would have the marriage. It would be a 1 week celebration. And then the bride and the groom would move into their home. So it's about 3 months into this betrothal period, we find out from Matthew and Luke, that Mary says, Joseph, we need to have a conversation. Something has happened. He said, okay. I know you've been over there with your what's the latest news? He said, well, maybe you want to sit down for this. I'm pregnant. What? You're pregnant? Now, don't get too excited. An angel talked to me about this. And I have conceived from the Holy Spirit the long-awaited Messiah. And you're going to be the earthly parent. Don't you feel privileged? It's going to be great. Well, she's had a few months to get over the shock of this news. This is coming to him. And you can, this is what Henry Blackaby in Experiencing God would say, a crisis of belief. My sweet, innocent, precious Mary, how could you? How could you do what you did to get in the condition you're in? She's saying, no, I'm a virgin. Remember, it's conceived of by the Holy Spirit. It's a supernatural thing, a spiritual thing that has happened. Then he's got to believe the story to explain this. So you're telling me God the Holy Spirit conceived a child in you? Yes. And then he's got to think, what are my options? What will the priest say in just a few moments? There's not a robe big enough to think. What's the community? I mean, after all, Nazareth is a pretty rough town. They're not going to just believe the Holy Spirit conceived. And so the Bible says Joseph decided to divorce Mary, but he wanted to do it privately, maybe not to embarrass her, maybe not to embarrass his family. He had decided, let's do it privately, let's figure out a way, but I'll give her, maybe I won't even write the cause on the bill of divorcement, but I'll do it official, and this is just all too much. And then the Bible says, God sent an angel to Joseph. What an encounter. Today, you and I find often our time of a crisis of belief. Now, it may not be quite Joseph, crisis of belief, but we are being challenged to believe the great things of God, the supernatural things of God. That God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we could even ask for. That type of faith in our life. And he says, when I make a promise, my promises are revealed by myself. I send the message. Joseph didn't have just a promise, just something that Mary said. It turns out God himself sent a messenger from heaven to Joseph, and today he does the same for you and I through his holy word. Verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now he was in some type of slumber. He receives this heavenly vision, and Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take you, your wife. Now see, Mary, legally during the betrothal, she's his wife. So he says, don't divorce her. Don't put her away. You take her. You claim her. Have faith. Because what she said is true. What is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, just like she said. And she will bring forth a son. A son? Yes, a son. And you shall call him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Yes, literally the name Jesus is God is our salvation. God saves. God is Savior. That's what Jesus means. That's the English translation of the Greek word, of the Hebrew word. We call him Jesus. God saves. What other name could a Messiah have? What other Christ could have any other name other than Jesus? God saves. You and I have to recognize that it's not the plausibility of the promise that causes us to faith. It's the credibility of the promise maker that gives us confidence. If you're here today just trying to reason out the great promises of God, if you're here today to try to put the story of Christmas on some type of rational gradient scale, does it make sense to me? Would it line up in Western rationalism thought? How plausible is such of these claims of the Bible? I'm telling you, you're going to miss it. And you will be stuck right here in this beautiful blue materialistic ball called Earth. And you'll go no further. Your life will be nothing but what you can see, what you can rationalize. But I'm telling you, to move beyond the rational plausibility that a virgin gave birth to a child, and the child was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. Whether you think that's plausible or not, I'm telling you, put your faith in the one who made the promise, because God won't let you down. And all of a sudden, sounds good to me. Don't have a problem with it. Because I'll tell you something, the one that made the promise is awesome. And he's quite able to make that happen. When someone breaks a promise, to us, we don't go back and say, well, you know, the last time they lied to me, but this time what they're saying sounds true, so I'll believe what they say this time. No, what we do is we take a step back and say, you lied once. I'm not taking my step of faith into what you say. See, the problem becomes credibility of the person who makes the promise. But when you place your faith in Jesus Christ, when you place your faith in God, my friend, he has not let you down. He will not let you down. He won't ever let you down. You can believe the promise. So even though you may be struggling today with something in a crisis, but not only that, I want to go one step further today and tell you that the promises of God are so awesome, so believable, that God himself is worthy of your trust, that God wrote it down. See, I got to thinking about that. We take for granted that we have a written copy of God's Word. My friend, not everybody has a written copy that they can understand. But you and I have a written copy of God's Word. It wasn't written in the 50s or the 60s or even at the birth of America. My friend, we've had these scriptures passed down to us through a written copy for millennia and beyond. And while people may doubt it, they can't disprove it. It is a testimony of God's inspired word to you and to me. Friend, it's true in my life. No matter what you think or what you say, you cannot change my faith, what I've experienced. Every word God has ever said has come true. Now, He may not operate on your timetable. He may not operate on my timetable because you don't put God in the box and judge Him. He's the judge. But look over time, my friend, every promise God has ever made has come true. He is faithful, and He wrote it down. When the angel came and said in the next verses, he says, so all this is done that it might be fulfilled. What's fulfilled? That which was spoken, and by the way, written down, spoken by the Lord and recorded through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God is going to invade this human, materialistic world. God is coming to us, and that's exactly what happened at the birth of Christ. Conceived of by the Holy Spirit, born of a woman, the God-man, holy God, 100% God, holy man, 100% man, the God-man entered the world to pay a human price that had divine consequences, that had an eternal price, and only eternal God paying in human flesh the price of mankind could make a just sacrifice to please a holy God. And that's exactly what happened in Jesus Christ, the God-man. And that's exactly what Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 prophesied all those centuries ago. Almost 750 years before the birth of Christ, the prophet spoke the word of God, and it's been written down. Over and over and over again, the Bible talks, it is written. You know why it's written down? Well, for one reason, to pass it on, but you only write down important matters. You write it down. You want to remember it, you write it down. You make a loan to a bank or you get a loan from a bank to buy a house. Listen, you want that in writing. You own a house in writing. You own a car. You want them to send you the deed. You want to have it in writing. Friend, when people buy a hamburger at Burger King, they get it in writing. They hand you a receipt. Here's a copy. Take your receipt. Friend, if it's important, you write it down. God's word is that important. You and I have this copy of God's holy word, the written word of God. It's that important. God has written it down for you to have a copy of His holy word so that the promises not only revealed can come alive in your life, you can know them, you can study them, you can believe them, you can hope, you can have an expectation, and you can respond to them. You see, the promise that is made here, that a virgin shall be conceived of by the Holy Spirit and bring forth a son, and this son will be God with us, Emmanuel. You will call His name Jesus. God saves. This happened, and it requires a response. Joseph had to respond out of the doubt, out of the trouble where he was about to just, man, we just got to stop and divorce and I don't know what's going to happen, but I can't believe an angel of the Lord speaks to him and says, Joseph, do you believe? This isn't just something Mary told you. God has spoken this to your heart. What are you going to do now? And a simple man believes a glorious promise and says, Lord, I believe. I will act in faith. I will trust what you say. I may not understand everything you say. I may not understand exactly how this has happened, but you're right. Isaiah prophesied it. I've heard it in the synagogues of Nazareth. We've read those passages every year in our synagogue. I didn't know what it means, but I believe you have said it. It is true, and now it's true in my life. And then the Bible says, and Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. You know what God asks you to do? Simply trust Him and do what He says. Do what He says. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, I hate my neighbor. You're wrong. God's right. Stop hating your neighbor. Love him. Well, you don't understand my neighbor. God does, and He said love him. Didn't put an exception in there, except for your neighbor. Nope. Love him. Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And guess what? God will overflood your heart with peace. You know what it says? Don't be anxious. Well, God, you don't understand my circumstances right now. There's no way I can't be anxious. God says, oh, yes, you can. Trust me. Don't be anxious. Once you start praying about it, and then be thankful for all the things you do have instead of worrying about the things you don't have, and then you'll get excited, and the peace of God will flood over your heart, and then guess what? You won't have any worry. Don't be anxious. You see, it doesn't come down there and say, except for things are really bad. No. And he did as he was commanded to do. He believed. And belief is action. Belief is a changed lifestyle. And he took to him his wife. He said, Mary, we're not getting divorced. We're going to keep this betrothal. And we're going to go to the big and tall shop and get you the biggest robe I can find. And he did not know her until she brought forth her firstborn son. He said, no, we're going to do this the right way. We're going to do it just the way we believe what God says. And if no one else believes it, we will know this child was conceived of by the Holy Spirit. There'll never be a doubt. And then this phrase, it gets me every time I read this passage. And then he called his name Jesus. Now that, my friend, is faith. Not that other Jewish kids weren't called Jesus back then. They were. But Mary and Joseph knew something. This indeed is the Christ child, the long-awaited Messiah. And humble people from a notorious little town in northern Israel are the parents of the Messiah. You're his mom, and I'm his earthly parent, and God's the Father, and his name is Jesus. Friend, you can't move forward from where you are today without faith. And if you feel stuck, it's time for you to come to grips. When you watch the news, are you struggling with the question? Is this just political propaganda? Is this Republican propaganda? Is this Democrat pop propaganda? I wonder who is funding all of this stuff. Is this some type of conspiracy? The war in the Middle East. Is this Muslim propaganda? Is this Jewish propaganda? Is this a United Nations propaganda? What can you believe? When it comes to Christmas, is this just commercial propaganda? Even worse, is this just Christian propaganda? Or believe? Nope. God has spoken, and I believe. And I call him Jesus. I call him Jesus. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. And this is not a traditional story. This is my life. How about you today? How about you today? Are you ready to move forward? Are you ready to experience the supernatural that God has for you? The hope, the life here but beyond here? The great kingdom of God? You must believe. Would you pray with me, Heavenly Father? I pray today that you would come, that you would do a work in our life. For some who need Christ as Savior, I pray today they would come. They've struggled back and forth. They've put off, and yet you keep speaking to them. You keep speaking to them. You make it clear, I've commanded this. Have them take their stand for Christ and settle the issue. Is he Lord or is he not? And if he is, what are you going to do about it? Why don't you do what we all must do, what Christ calls us to trust him? Turn, change your mind, your old way of thinking, your doubts, and turn to faith in Christ. Come, take your stand publicly. Confess that Jesus is Lord of your life and that you too believe. Commit and receive. Receive his gift of eternal life. Receive the life he has for you. And live. Some need a church home. Some need to release some heavy burdens. You've been in a crisis, and it's time to believe and trust. Father, have your way. We'll respond as we sing in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing.